Good job, kids. They're all ready to go. But good job, Nancy, with the kids. Appreciate it. This morning, this is our third message on Can a Person Ever Be Lost After Salvation, Part 3. And this is one that kind of seals it all, which is taken from Ephesians chapter 1, and verse 13 tells us that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Paul, is in this letter to the Ephesians, says we have the blessings of redemption. And anyone that's ever been saved, and you here today, can acknowledge that redemption is past, present, and future for the Christian. So, let's look at verse 12. To the end that we who were the first to the hope in Christ would be the praise of His glory. In Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, have also believed, you were, there it is, sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Promise means covenant. It's a promise that God makes to everyone. And in verse 14 it says, who is given a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. Now, the scripture says there that we are sealed with a promise. And when God makes a promise, He doesn't break it, does He? It is forever and ever. And I like that verse 13, you know, sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. So how do you know that we are only, well, let me say that again. How do we know we are not only saved and safe? Not only saved and secure, because we are not only saved and sealed. But in this scripture, salvation is of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, it says, we are saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God. And then, we cannot be saved by grace and kept by works. So, they two go together. So, not you're holding out, but it's God holding on to you. God wants us to hold out, and He wants to hold on. But it's God holding on to us. And when you think about God's vocabulary in His Word, it's definite, it's specific words like He's sealed. And that's very important. And I'll share more about this, the word seal, what it really means to us who are in Christ Jesus. And in Ephesians chapter 1 says, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, that is forever and ever. See, it's very important when we study a word to interpret the words in the biblical context. See, through the years, word meaning changed somewhat. They through the years, okay? But the word seal meant something very significant to the believers in Ephesus. It made up a specific image in their minds. Now, for kids, we just sang this song about animals. And for kids, it's the word seal. I'm talking about the word seal. For kids, it's the black animal that can balance a beach ball on their nose. All right? When they hear the word seal, they think of an animal that bounces a beach ball on their nose. Okay? For ladies, it's canners and gardening, right? Seal jars. When you hear that word seal. For the guys who work on cars, it's a neoprene gasket that seals, okay? Now, some men would never think of the seal on a jar. Some ladies and probably some men too would not think of the seal on a car engine. I like the story about a lady who called her husband and said, "The car won't start." Then she says, "I believe there is water in the gas tank." And he was thinking, now how would she know that? So he said, "How would you know that there's water in the gas tank?" She says, "Because it's in the bottom of the lake." So when you think of the word seal and things like that, and knowing what things are, you know, sometimes it's surprising, isn't it? But I want to share this morning three primary meanings of the biblical word seal. And seal is used for many, many different things. And even in the Bible, when Jesus was placed in the tomb, they sealed the tomb. And you know when a seal is broken. But God's seal is never broken because he says he seals us with the Holy Spirit with a promise. So let's look at the first one. You have a finished transaction. I like that, a finished transaction. Have you ever had anything notarized? I'm sure that we all. And it's important because we know that it's final. Transaction. And then you know what it means to have something sealed, notarized, or imprinted on seals. So it's done deal. It's official. And when you got saved, God sealed your transaction of the Holy Spirit in your life. Tis done. Your great transaction's done. Song that we often sing. And think of it like a business transaction. God took all your sins on your account, all of the lust, all your greed, lies, impure thoughts, gossiping words, habits, evil deeds, and there are those things in the world today. All of those things, and people who's been saved, all of that has been taken care of. See, God took it all and placed it on Christ's account. Christ's account means when he went to the cross, died for our sins, Jesus paid the price for the penalty of sin. And Jesus Christ then paid for all of those sins when he died on the cross. And then he paid it in full. See, your sin debt has been paid in full. Don't you like it when you buy something? And maybe you have to put it on installments. And then there at the end, you get that piece of paper says paid in full. Makes you feel good, doesn't it? You know, it's done. It's a done deal. I own it now. I have ownership now. No more payments or anything. You see, Jesus paid everything in full. Our sin debt, he paid it in full. But it's not done. It's a two-part transaction. See, God not only takes your sin and places them on Christ's account, but then he does something even wonderful. Something even wonderful. He takes the righteousness of Christ, Jesus, and he places that on your account. The righteousness. You see, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And the only way that we can be counted righteous is because of Jesus Christ. You know, when God looked at Abraham, he said, he looked at him for his faith, but he says also of his righteousness. That means he strived to be like God. He strived to be like Christ. See, so our salvation is so simple, a child can easily believe and receive it. And yet so deep, we can never fully grasp just how far-reaching it truly is. See, the thought that you can lose your salvation is shallow thinking for Christians compared to the depth of what salvation really is and what it means to us, each one of us. Now, if you've been saved, you need to understand that God doesn't see you as a a wicked, filthy sinner that has been forgiven. See, he sees you clothed in the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's why when he saves us, we are sealed, signed, and it's a sealed transaction. You see, it's through the blood of Jesus Christ, and you're justified, just as if you had never sinned when Jesus forgives you of your sins. See, he sees you as perfect. He says, come on in to the rest and peace that I offer you. Now, when we say a Christian is viewed as perfect, we're talking about your judicial standing with God. It's a legal standing. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, when Jesus was talking to the multitudes and the disciples, and they was asking them about the kingdom and so forth, and asking them about their lives and how that they can live up to the standards of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "Be ye perfect also as I am perfect." And he was talking about his righteousness. You see, none of us are perfect, and we never will be perfect until we get to heaven. We have our glorified body. In this flesh, you know, we strive and we yearn to be more like Christ. And that perfection or that complete means that we are striving to be more like Christ. See, there's another righteousness called imparted righteousness. And that's the righteousness that's lived out in our daily lives. And God is still working on us on that manner. He's working on that imparted righteousness. See, we're all still got to a long ways to go, and we'll never fully arrive until one of these glorious days that we stand before God and he says, "Come on in. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption, and today is your day." Now, but legally, judicially, when you stand before God, you have received a perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. See, it's a legal transaction that takes place like money changing hands. Your sins are traded for Christ's righteousness, and then completed transaction. It's like, boom, it's done. See, he seals with the Holy Spirit a finished transaction. See, that is what it means to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. And then there's ownership. You have ownership. See, the Ephesus was a very center of lumber business in those days. It was located on a river, which was used to transport logs from the logging camps to the mills downstream. That's where Ephesus was located, in a strategic place where all of these things could take place. And each camp would have its own seal stamped on the end of the logs, so the mill knew to give credit to those loggers. It's like horses. People who raise horses or sell horses or train them, they have that special seal, that special brand that they place on these horses. And whether they get lost or whatever, whether they're ever found again, they have that seal on them, and it would never be removed. So the Bible says, "I'm sealed, branded with God's signature." See, we are properties of God. We're properties of God. And even if I get away from him, I still is one of his sheep. The Bible says he knows us, and we know his voice when he calls us. See, he comes after me. He's calling me, bringing me back into the fold. That means I'm sealed. It's a finished transaction. I'm his property. Going back, see, he has ownership. We have ownership because we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And then we have the security. And it's indicated by a seal. much like you seal a letter, but much more. For example, in Matthew chapter 27:66, the Roman Empire, the Roman government, put Jesus in the grave, rolled the rock over the entrance, and then they sealed it. History says that they would take a string on either side held by hot wax, and then the seal was pressed into the wax as dried and hardened. So, we may ask, or you may ask, how long will the seal of the Holy Spirit last? According to Ephesians 4:30, it says, until the day of redemption. Until the day of redemption, until we are fully redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we are being past, present, and future. So it's a finished transaction. You're his property. We have security in him. So we see seal, and now here's the deal. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14 says, earnest. Earnest. Earnest money means there's more to come. In the book of Romans, it talks about earnest or more to come, much more. And when you look at this particular scripture here, how much earnest you put down indicates how serious you are. Now, let me ask you a question. If you was going to go out and buy a house, a huge house, or the house of your dream, would you put down $5 for it? No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't do that at all. You would put more, because that, you know, that's really not being serious, is it? If you really want something real bad and it's exactly what you need, you would put quite a bit more earnest on it because you would be serious about the transaction. See, God put the earnest of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, a down payment. He would have to forfeit if he reneged on the promise of your salvation. See, all above is promised. And God says, just to make it real to you, just so that you can know that I am going to give to you the promise of the salvation through Jesus Christ. So you can look forward to it. I'm going to go ahead right now and drop into your heart the down payment. That's what God is saying through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit at the moment, because of the earnest inheritance that we receive through Jesus Christ. See, it's not bold. It's not bold to say you know you're going to heaven because you know Jesus Christ, because we have the earnest of him and his interest in our lives. In Ephesians 4:30 it says, until the day of redemption. Now, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, if anyone wants to be sure of their security in Jesus Christ, this is it right here. You know, you buy an insurance policy because you know it's kind of a security to you. If something happens to you or your family member, it's a way of saying, you know, I have ownership, and something happens to me, my family, or someone's going to be taken care of. Well, this is our eternity security insurance policy, if you might say, for the Christian. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that ye may know. See, you may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the Son of God. You see, that is what it means to be sealed. That I may know that I have eternal life. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." That is a message within itself right there. And then when you come to Ephesians, and Paul talks about all the things of the believer, that they're sealed, they're sanctified, and set apart to serve God. You know, what better a security that we have? What better transaction that God has made? The earnest of paying our sin debt, and we're sealed. I preached three messages on this topic about being saved, knowing that you're saved. And for the Christian, the more we know that we're saved, the more that we know we're secure, I do believe the more that we're going to have a more joyful life and being willing to serve. You see, we need that in our heart. We need that instilled, sealed in our heart that we are secure. And there's too many Christians going around the world, walking around, unsecure in their relationship with Jesus Christ. So many I've talked to over the years, a young man, not a young man, but an older man, was in his 80s. And he said, "Pastor Mike," he said, "you know, I've been a member of this church for many, many years." And he said, "When I die, I want to make sure I go to heaven." I said, "Being a member of this church has nothing to do with it." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "When you joined this church, did you get saved?" He said, "Well, yeah, I think so." I said, "Well, you got to know so. There's more than just joining a church and having a membership." I said, "Do you not know?" He said, "Well, I hope I do." And he said, "I'll know when I die." I said, "No, that's too late. You need to know. You need to know that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit." And I had an opportunity to talk and witness to this man and sealed it with him, that he knew that he was saved. You see, sometimes people stray or get away from God, and they have that weak faith that Jesus Christ talked to disciples about. He said, "Oh, ye of little faith." He didn't say no faith, but "ye of little faith, your faith is weak." And to know that you are sealed and sanctified in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to make each and every one of us want to say hallelujah every day of our life. Knowing that being sealed by God to the day of redemption, that one of these days when we stand before him, you see all of the things that God promised, that seal. See, we have got a place in heaven. We walk the streets of gold. You know, if the streets of gold wasn't, if streets weren't gold in heaven and jasper and all of these things that Revelation talks about, you know, just Christ being there is enough for me. If we love him and we know he loves us like we say we do, we're going to live and we're going to serve him to the depths of our heart because we know that he always keeps his promise to us. What a blessedness. What a blessedness it is to know that he loves us that much. Man, it is great. It is great. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for your scripture. Lord, when we have doubts in our hearts, when we are unsure, Lord, we don't live a Christian life the way we should because we stray. We're not in your word. We're not speaking to you. We're not communicating. We're not praying. But when that light goes off in our hearts and our mind, and just that special touch of your Holy Spirit assuring us where we are, we're safe and secure in you, makes us to want to even more to serve you with all of our hearts. Lord, I pray this morning that every one of us here that know that we've been saved, are safe and secure in your hands. And Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally, we just pray for them. We pray that they're uncertain. Lord, nothing like being making sure that we have made that commitment to you. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, how you're able to work in and through our lives, that you pray for us with groanings unknown to any man. But Lord, we know that you have our best interests in your heart all the time. Whatever decisions are to be made today, Lord, we just lift them up in the name of Jesus for your blessing. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 332, Without Him. May we stand as we sing.